77. 77 be a personal. In the little red book. We got two different books out there. If you hadn't got a red book, look in the old book, find number, whatever. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah is well known.
Listen. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name.
Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise the fame. All His hosts together praise Him, sun, moon, and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise Him, Jehovah, for His name alone is high.
And His glory is exalted.
And His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted. Far above the earth and sky. Let the praises give Jehovah. They were made at His command. Them forever He established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O great Jehovah, all your bloody dragons all, fiery hail and snow and vapor, stormy winds can hear Him call. Let them praise His Jehovah, for His name alone is high.
And His glory is exalted,
and His glory is exalted, and His glory. Exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creepings and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great judges all, praising young men and maidens,
aged men and children small. Let them praise
His Jehovah, for His name alone is high.
And His glory is exalted.
And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
Our Psalm 4, prayer being number 100. Convenient to stand for song, may stand for prayer. So I'll say,
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my moments.
give my life to thee. Thine forever, more to be. Lord, I give my life to thee. Thine forever, more to be.
Our dear and precious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you bless us with. So thankful, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to come before thee and worship thee and sing song of praise to thee.
Let's sing all three.
I must need go home by the way of the cross, the road of the way of this. I should never get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I homeward go. Home. I must eat go on in the blood sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I homeward go. Bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I homeward go.
Amen. 644, bear some encouragement. 644.
My intention did not step up to this pulpit before now. Get to the ideals in mind. This is a special pulpit to me and the time that we have. I chose to do this sermon today in regard to something that we're all familiar with which we find ourselves thinking about from time to time in everybody's home and family. How shall I rear godly children in the family? Godly children do not just come about because we have them. They're born in this world not knowing many things except the feelings that they have, something to eat or something to clean them up with and that sort of thing, and they cry to tell us that they are in need of something to be addressed. And so we pay attention to those things. But as they grow along in life, they find a way to become very accountable to God. Accountable because of their accountability of right and wrong. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 talked about young people when he said regarding their youth, except you become converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice that they were to be people who found themselves doing the will of the Lord. And doing that will of the Lord, they found themselves doing right. And so it is, it said regarding them, unless they, as disciples, become like these little children. Did he say like little sinners? Little condemned individuals? Little defamed individuals? No. He said like these little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. These little children were willing to be taught. They came and they wanted to hear Jesus speak. And as the disciples said, no, y'all just get away, move away. Jesus forbade them to do that. He said, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Their willingness to learn and willingness to grow, willingness to be all that they could be, though it was humble in spirit as little children, needs to be the spirit of everyone who finds themselves in the kingdom of God. We talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the realm of God. 174 times, I believe it is, in the New Testament of the Bible, the word kingdom is used in reference to the way that we live in the ultimate eternal kingdom in which we can live. In reference to the church, only 77 times, I believe, in the Bible, we find the word church being used. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we find the combination of the two. It is said there that they were baptized into Christ, and he said regarding their way of life, that they were people who honored the Lord and honored his right way, and they were added to the kingdom of his dear Son. These brethren at Colossians 1 and at verse 7 and verse 13, were added by being baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk a new life, and they began to walk that new life as members of the church of our Lord. Yet he is talking to them as the kingdom. He's saying you were obedient to the Lord and you were added by the Lord to his kingdom. How were they added to the kingdom and added to the church at the same time? Listen to it in Colossians 4 and verse 16. In Colossians 4 verse 16, he tells them to take this letter that I have addressed to you and take it to the brethren in the church at Laodicea. You see, the church at Laodicea were just as much a part of the kingdom as were these brethren at Colossae. But they're referred to as the church in reference to the Lord himself and his way. And they found themselves in the church honoring the things that he had written to them. And he said, you bring back the letter I wrote to Laodicea and read it among yourselves there at Colossae. You see, they were the same kind of people. Members of the church, members of the kingdom. The kingdom in chapter 1, verse 13, and the church in Colossians 4, at verse 16. And so they were members of the kingdom and members of the church of the Lord. And so it is that in our lives we want to teach our children about becoming obedient to the gospel of Christ. And as they grow along the way and learn things, they learn that some things have been said by their friends and neighbors, maybe by others in the family, that are not right and not good, not helpful, not godly. And as a result of recognizing that that is the case, they find themselves looking at life differently. And when they found themselves looking at life differently, they found the Word of God teaching them to look at life like the Lord wanted them to look at life. And if they looked at life the way the Lord wanted them to look at life, they would change their vocabulary. They changed the way they talked. They changed the way they acted. And so these children were to be part of the kingdom of God's dear Son and a part of the church of our Lord as well. When we're members of the church here on this earth, the earthly side, we are members. Notice members. Like our hands. And Paul illustrates that to the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, in which he says, if the ear shall say, I'm not the eye, if the eye shall say, I'm not the ear, does that make it so? He says we are all part of the body of Christ. And we'll do our best hearing and our best seeing, our hands and feet and all the parts of our members of our body. Don't make the member within itself just that member. But make all of yourself a member of the body of Christ. A faithful member of the body of Christ. Faithful to do what you need to do. To be the best hand you can be. The best eyes you can be. The best ears you can be. And we got together to write little songs in the Vacation Bible School time. We sing that little song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little, because the Father up above is looking down in tender love. But be careful, little eyes, what you see. Indeed, we need to be that kind of person. And so we teach those children as they go along. I'm so glad I had my mom and dad. And I'm glad they had the background that they had. I remember Brother Fred sitting by where Miss Jane is today and Miss Lucille about that way. And how that, second to my mom, I believe he loved the fact that I was going to try to preach the gospel more than anybody. He couldn't beat my mom about that. But at the same time, I believe he did. When we would go over to the old house for lunch afterwards sometime, remember on the front porch there were some straight back chairs that they would be leaned back against the wall of the house? And he would sit down in that after lunch and sit there. And we children would come out, we'd be going out to the field out there to play ball or something. And he'd call me back and say, "Robert, would you come back here just a minute and sit down just a minute?" I'd sit down in the chair and he'd tell me things. And one of the things that he told me was, "You always smile when you preach. You don't smile to take advantage of people. You don't smile to embarrass them. But you smile because it's a good message to be delivered. It's a Bible message to be delivered. It's the way of God you're talking about. And people will sense that. They'll sense that." He said, "Always keep that smile, son. Always keep that smile as you preach the gospel." I've tried to do that through the years by nature doing that way. Not without it thinking I'm doing that way. And so it is that he was a great encouragement to me in that way. The brethren here at Nile were a great encouragement to me. James Robert Dunn was a great encouragement to me as well. He was a couple of years older than I. But as I began to preach and try to preach here, fill in the Sundays that Brother Gunner was not here. Brother Gunner was coming down and filling in and preaching here every other Sunday. But Sundays he was not here were just Bible study times and discussion times and prayer times, and we left. But I asked for the opportunity to speak. And Paul was guiding me and directing me in speaking, and I knew I could speak about things that he said. Preach about people's needs. As I was growing up, I saw people need. They need things about the way they talk. They need things about the way they do. They need things about the way that they believe in this doctrine or that doctrine. And so I could preach about things that are needed. And James Roberts said, "I can drive for you places that you're invited to go. And I can lead singing if they need a song leader there." And they would always need a young song leader there. And James Robert would lead the singing there. And so between the times of here and Carthage and Philadelphia and Louisville and Durant, I had the opportunities to preach most every Sunday after that time. And Brother Gunner would ask me sometime, "What's your sermon about?" And I'd say to him what it was about. And he'd say, "That's a good thing. Yeah, people need that." He would always say, "People need that." And I thought about Paul saying, "Preach to the needs of people and you'll never run out." I never run out of sermons to preach. I never run out of articles to write. I never run out because I base those articles and base those sermons on people's needs. As I see needs of people, I see those things that need to be addressed from the Bible, the Word of God, teaching them how to do and how to be. And so it is that in guiding our children, we need to be people who are spiritually minded, encouraging them along the way, and as a result, we could be more godly families than we ever would be otherwise. When we are people who demand and command and that sort of thing of people, listen to the Bible teacher back there in the book of Proverbs in chapter 29. In reference to this way of life, he says, do not constantly be griping on somebody. Don't be griping to them. Why? Because they'll learn your evil way and find a snare to their own soul. they'll practice the way that they thought was big and practice that way they thought was powerful. And if you do that, that's the way that you don't want them to do. You don't want them to get in trouble. And as Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18:21, you don't want them to say things to other people where the power of life and death is in that tongue. You don't want them to say the kind of things that by that tongue gets them to be mad at that person and mad at your child and die as a result of that situation. Do not do that. And so we teach our children. We teach our children and guide them into a way to walk and talk and do. And thus they follow by example that we lead to them and by statements made. If you would, in your Bible, turn with me to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in reference to what real love is all about. Because as a young person grows up, a young person is going to fall into love. There are going to be people along the way who find themselves looking at that person's life and thinking, this person I want to spend the rest of my days with. And so there's love that is there. What do we find out when we read about love? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse number 5. Or verse number 4, actually. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It's not just a momentary thing, not just a momentary statement. Not just I'm in love with this person this week and I'm in love with somebody else next week and know somebody else next week. I love somebody and I love them a long time. Love is a long, lingering time. It's the kind of agape love that God would have us to have. It's the kind of love that we ought to maintain. It suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. It doesn't envy things, envy people's things, envy a car, envy a way of life, envy a money in the pocket of somebody. It does not envy. It does not behave itself unseemly. Because it doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. That's what that will do when you have that way of life that envies someone. It vaunts itself up. I can hit the ball better than you. I can do better than you this. Teach our children not to be puffed up about a way of life. Doth not behave itself unseemly, verse 5. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You think about that way of life that behaves itself in such a way that it is of help to a fellow man. It's a participation with a fellow man. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's something that you shouldn't be seen. You shouldn't be seen thinking. You shouldn't be seen doing. Behave yourself in such a way that's not unseemly. But seek not her own. That is the only way that I want to live, the only way I want to do is the way I've done it. This is not the way only style of preaching. I've trained and worked together with over 500 gospel preachers. They're varied places around the world that they're varied. Our school program began because of Miss Jane's dad. I had an opportunity when I was here to be told that I had a gift. But Mom and Dad, I had a gift, an opportunity here at Nile, I had a gift. But when I got to Freed Hardeman, Brother Gardner and Brother Dixon were teachers there and leaders of the school. They announced one day for me to meet them in their office after devotional that day. Of course, all the other young people around me, you know what they were doing. They were looking at me saying, "What did you do?" I don't know what I did this time. I did a lot of things, but I don't know what I did this time. When I went into their office, they sat me down, and they both were of the same mind. Brother Dixon, who was president of the school, and he said, "Brother Rawson," he said, "we believe that you have a gift to train preachers. And we'd like to ask you to go on to school up at Western Kentucky State University." They had a connection along with their school with them. And get your teacher's license there and come back here to Free Hardeman and teach and train our preachers that come here. Don't answer right now. Talk with your mom and dad about it. I called my mom and dad about it. I said, I've been offered this opportunity. Mom reminded me that I really talked about coming back and being a Mississippi preacher. And no doubt she had an idea in mind that I would move back to Kosciuszko and be just to preach around this area. But when I moved back here to the state of Mississippi, I went down to Ruleville in the Delta. My dad couldn't believe that I went to the Delta. When his dad and mom, and before he was born, down here at Dawsonville, they had farm and everything. When they got everybody together, put everything on a trailer and everything, and moved down to Silver City below Belzona, they were going to the end of the world. Everybody came out there to cry tears about them leaving out. That Vesta was carrying his wife and carrying his little daughter. Aunt Valma was older than my dad. And they were going to the Delta to die. Because the mosquitoes were like, down in the Delta. Troubles were down there. And they were going down to live in Silver City right on the river. What in the world? But they did that. And of course my dad was born there at Silver City. And he grew up there. In that Delta. And he just couldn't believe that I made arrangements with the church at Ruleville to become the preacher there at the Delta. But they were wonderful people. They were great helps to me. They had a great respect for me because I had a great respect for them. I had a great love for them. I had a great unity for them. I was not trying to be above them. I was trying to preach the Word of God to the needs that I saw that we had a need for. And as a result of that, they were very respectful for that being done. I had a great time with them. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. No evil is planned. You know, we think about evil before we actually do evil. We think about things in doing them before we do them. And when we find ourselves guarding ourselves in our minds, what do we guard ourselves with? Well, Philippians 4 and verse 7 tells us that the peace of God will keep or guard your hearts and minds. So the peace of God being with you and being at peace with God, a young person being taught, God will be with you and He'll reward you with peace. You'll have peace within from this that you won't have peace within from anything else. How many people have I met in life, I cannot count, that had a way of life of success? They had monies, they had cars, they had houses, mansions, they had a lot of things that they had worked for and done, but they had no peace within. And when I heard them preach, where they heard me preach like this and heard about me preaching like this from somebody that they knew, they would ask me, how did you get that peace? I got that peace from God's Word. I got that peace because God said that He would reward me with guarding me. Guarding me. He'll keep me. Keep my heart and mind with His peace. That's the way of life to live. And so it is that teaching others that way of life is begun by teaching our children to be godly at home. Teaching that way of life. Not a way of life that is rough and mannerisms, but a way of life that is not evil, but doing good. Listen to some more of the positive side. He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13. But rejoiceth in the truth. Isn't that a good thing to know the truth? If somebody's standing up there and they're shouting and ranting at us, don't come down this road, don't come down this road any further. We tend to slow down and believe what they say, and they're saying the bridge is out up ahead. They're trying to warn us that there's danger going on. They're trying to save us, our lives. Wonderful is that way of life to do, because they're telling us truth. If they're not telling us truth, it's a terrible thing, terrible scene. But if they are telling us truth, we're thankful for them. Son or daughter, they'll always be thankful for you telling the truth. They'll be always thankful for you telling the right things and good things. Verse 7, beareth all things. Love is a way of life that carries it out. It carries it a long way. It bears all things. When Jesus told the disciples, as he talked with them in Matthew 5, about how that they were to be people who honored the way of the Lord in such a way that when they were violated, when they were talked about, when the soldiers asked them, take my pack with you a mile and you set it down there, he said, go with them 2 miles. You'll have peace. Go with them 2 miles and you will make a difference with their lives. I wonder how many soldiers were made a difference with because the disciples did that. They didn't mark a place that said, this is just 1 mile. I don't have to go any further. I take you to prosecute you in court. I'll go with you 2 miles. And that's what Jesus said, do. Go with them 2. Instead of just stay that 1. Wouldn't we benefit by not going just what we're required to go? Not doing what we're just required to do? Some of the worst situations of preaching the gospel that I've ever worked with, somebody who was told, you've got to do this. And they came to say, well, I've got to do it. But they did not have it in their heart. And not a one of them ever made it. They never made it through school. They never made it through these studies right here. They never made it. Because they didn't have the peace of God with them and the love of God, bearing all things, believing all things, enduring all things. You have to endure some things in life and love people anyway. The idea of doing that is said here in love. Charity never faileth, verse 8. It never fails. Love never fails. Teach our children to love things that are right, things that are good, things that are helpful. Love never fails somebody. You care about them. When people go out here and help, they can only help so much. Everybody has a limited amount of funds that they can help. Some more than others, but still, they have a limited amount of funds. And it's everybody's opportunity that they have to help others. Which one of us is our only opportunity to help somebody? The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. Lay it off on one person, but to everybody to participate together. And when they come back to the church and they call them from the church and say, I have helped this particular person, they let them know what circumstances they were in, what really needs that they had in life, and I've extended myself to this particular point. Would y'all join with me to help somebody? And how many times has this congregation at Nile reached out to help somebody like that? I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the number of times that now, while I was here, they've helped others. Every congregation I ever worked with, that was the way they did. They would reach out and help others. And as a result of that, they were people who showed love by way of their conduct. So may our children, reared in love, be the children of God as their children within our families. If they see love in its true picture, it never fails. And then he says, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see, the brethren at that day and time had some miraculous powers by which they could go to any country, any dialect, and teach and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew they had to lay on the apostles' hands and they could do this kind of powerful thing. And they made a game of it within themselves. I can do such great things. I can do such great ideas. I've got a power to do this. And Paul is telling them, if you depend on that all the way through your life, the day is coming within this first century time that this will cease. This will fail. This will not be there. What does love have? Love believes and love guides and love never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the perfect teaching of God's word, the perfect complete message of the Lord, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, the things being done to teach the word of God effectively to people, the prophesying and the tongues and the various powers that they had would vanish away, and these things would continue. Which is perfect to come, that which is in part shall be done away. And he says, it's just like when I was a child. That's where we started our lesson this morning. When I was a child. How did I get taught love? How to get taught the greatest thing in the world? The world to live by, to marry by, to love and care our children and rear them by. When did we get taught that? For some of us, we got taught that from mom and dad, and grandma and grandpa. For some of us, we got taught that on the 24th day of January, 2021. That's the way to live. That's the way to do. And he says the following as he closes out. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I pulled out my tongue. I didn't speak anymore. I closed my ears. I didn't hear anymore. Is that what he's saying he did? Or was he saying, I learned that as a child to use my tongue in a loving way. I used my ears in a loving way. I used my steps in a loving way. And so it is that as I love that way, and that way of life became a part of my way of life, when I was a child and put away childish things, I became a man. They didn't put away their talking. They didn't put away their listening. They didn't put away anything about their lives. But they grew up from those things, learning it and showing it. Now as an adult, they were willing to show it. And they were willing to demonstrate to their children that they lived that way. Some have said in regard to the ones that would preach the gospel, that they heard in the back seat from the front seat as they were going home, that preacher's terrible sermon today, that awful ungodly thing being taught today, that instead of, let's open our Bible. Many a night, many a time, there would be an opening of the Bible to see if that verse was there, if that teaching was there, if that was the Lord's will. And bow in prayer and say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness that I did not know this already. I was not aware of what you told me about the way of love that I ought to have. So it is, as a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but I shall know even as I am also known. And there abideth faith and hope and agape, charity, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Is charity. What do I want my children to do? Well, I want my children to be successful in life. I want them to be wealthy in life. I want them to do good in life. I want them to have monies in life and abilities in life. what's said back in Proverbs 22 and verse 4. He tells us regarding our lives that we find an opportunity to make things good and helpful in our lives. By the way of life that we live, humble before God, and rewarded as a result of that. That's the way to live. Because it's the way of real love that we do. What a blessing to be with you today and study with you and to rehearse a few of the things regarding what I was taught. More than that, what the Bible taught me. That's the way of life to do. If you find yourself subject to Jesus' invitation today, as we talked about this way of life, a way of love, come to Jesus today as we stand and as we sing this song together and think about the thoughts that you have in mind. Do you too need to be confessing your faith in Him, being baptized into Him, be living faithfully for Him, coming back to the way of the Lord for Him? But that's your decision to make with someone who loves you and cares for you. When Paul closed out the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the last verse he said, "My love be unto you now and forever." He wrote that book because His love was for them. So was this message today. As we stand to sing, would you come?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us here, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His power quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay, for the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. Where He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Look to page 309.
be free. Oh, the cleansing stream doth flow, and it washes white as snow. It was for me that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. On Calvary.
So good to be here today.
Amen.
Appreciate you, Robert.
Yeah, thank you.
For being with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate everybody.
Yes.
Hope you come back when you have an opportunity.
Yeah.
If you will stand, turn your books to page 661. 661. And still remember those that were mentioned in our conversation as the week goes. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night at the college. Sing very first of this with our Lord.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it in where you go. Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet.
Hope of earth and
joy of heaven.
Our Heavenly Father, we're ever thankful for this day that thou blessed us with. We thank you for each every day thou sustain us. We thank you for being our Creator. We thank you for thy Son that made it possible that we can be reconciled to thee if we're in compliance with thy will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us enough to guide us by thy inspired word and not let a man guide us. We thank you for sustaining us not only spiritually but physically. And Heavenly Father, also too, we thank you for Rawson and the ability to proclaim thy word. We thank you for him being here together. We thank you for all those that have assembled to worship thee, for truly they are worthy of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Ask you to be mindful of congregations throughout this world, especially in this wake of this COVID virus, and give those that need thy help. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with missionaries that strive to teach thy word. Thank you for those that support them. We thank you for those that assist the world in spreading thy word. We ask you to be with us. We thank you for once again. We thank you for being mindful of this nation and the time of turmoil that we can have peace, but we know that's only possible if people will turn to thee and to thy word and learn of thy love. We ask you now, go with us to our homes, guide us in the way that we take opportunities to teach of thee at all times. For this we pray in Jesus' precious name, for that will not ours. Amen.
Amen.